Chapter 2, text number 10 through text number 12. Tam vacha rishi keshah prahassannima bharata senayor ubhayor madhye Vishidantam idam vachah. Going on between intimate friends, namely Drishikesha and Gurakesh. As friends, both of them were on the same level, but one of them voluntarily became a student of the other. Krishna was smiling because a friend had chosen to become a disciple. As Lord of all, he is always in the superior position as the master of everyone. And yet the Lord agrees to be a friend, a son or a lover for a devotee who wants him in such a role. But when he was accepted as the master, he at once assumed the role and talked with the disciple like the master, with gravity as it is required. It appears that the talk between the master and the disciple was openly exchanged in the presence of both armies so that all were benefited. So the talks of Bhakti are not for any particular person, society or community, but they are for all, and friends or enemies are equally entitled to hear them. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we welcome you to today's evening's class on Bhagavad Gita as it is. So far in the discussion, we have seen how just before the battle begins, Arjuna requests his chariot driver Krishna to drive the chariot in between the two armies. And all of a sudden, Arjuna loses all composure and he gives so many reasons why he doesn't want to indulge in this fight. But finally, he comes to the conclusion that I cannot find a solution to my problems on my own, and he surrenders to Krishna. Nahi prapashyamyo mapanudyad yachyo kamucho shanam indriyanam avapya bhuma vasapatnam raddham rajyam suranam apichadipatyam. I can find no means to drive away this grief which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to dispel it. Even if I win a prosperous, unrivaled kingdom on earth with sovereignty like the demigods in heaven. So Arjuna has come to the conclusion that no amount of prosperity or sovereignty can help him overcome this grief. So in this mood, what does he say? Arjuna, chastiser of enemies, told Krishna, "Govinda, I shall not fight," and fell silent. Arjuna surrenders to Krishna and tells Krishna, "Give me a permanent solution to all my problems. But now, according to my estimation, I cannot fight," and he falls silent. And now, Krishna, he starts instructing Arjuna in the message of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, smiling in the midst of both the armies, spoke the following words to the grief-stricken Arjuna. Text 11 goes, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Ashochyananva Shochastvam Pragyavadam Shabhashase Gata Sunagata Sumscha Nano Shochanti Pandita. The Supreme Personality of God had said, "While speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be." So Krishna has started instructing Arjuna in the message of the Bhagavad Gita, And it is described here, Krishna is speaking the Bhagavad Gita in the middle of both the armies. The chariot is in the middle of both the armies and Krishna is delivering the Bhagavad Gita. It is not that Krishna took Arjuna to a secluded spot and gave the message of the Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada is making this very interesting point that what does this signify? Krishna speaking the Bhagavad Gita in the middle of the both the armies, what does this signify? Prabhupada says, the talks of Bhagavad Gita are not for any particular person, society or community, but they are for all, and friends or enemies are equally entitled to hear them. Bhagavad Gita is not sectarian. It is for everybody. Spirituality is for everybody. Krishna consciousness is for everybody. It is not a sectarian religion. When Prabhupada started his society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, someone said that, why don't you name it International Society for God Consciousness? Because Krishna seems to be a sectarian name. Prabhupada said, no, that is not the case. He is not a Hindu God. He is a Lord of everybody. Krishna says in the Gita, Mame Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. All living entities, they are my parts and parcels. And the message of Bhagavad Gita, when the father gives the knowledge, it is meant for all children. It is not sectarian. But as is the case in the material world, after Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, this was forgotten. And Bhagavad Gita was considered to be sectarian. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to come again and say that Sanatana Dharma, message of the Bhagavad Gita is not sectarian, it is for everybody. And to emphasize this fact, he made Srila Haridas Thakur the Namacharya. And Haridas Thakur was born in a Mohammedan family. By doing that, he signified that this Sanatana Dharma is the eternal occupation of all living entities, of all sections of society. And then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went beyond all sectarian limits and he even made animals dance in the forest of Jharikhanda. Even animals were chanting Hare Krishna and became devotees of Krishna. But after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, again the message was forgotten and again Bhagavad Gita, spirituality was considered to be sectarian. And then great personalities like Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, whose disappearance day is today, he and then his Siksha disciple Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he yearned for the day when people from all countries of the world will come to Navadvip and everyone will be singing holy names of Krishna and chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in unison. And Srila Prabhupada, he was the one to fulfill this dream. Srila Prabhupada traveled extensively all over the world, I think 11 times. And his traveling signified his conviction that Krishna consciousness was for everybody, for people of all countries, all continents. It was not sectarian. Prabhupada first tried to preach Krishna consciousness in India, but people of India are feeling that if we get the prosperity of the West, we'll be happy. So Prabhupada thought, better to go to US, America, wherein people are disillusioned with the wealth they had possessed. Just like Arjuna here, he says that no amount of wealth can give me happiness, I am convinced. And similarly, people of the West, the youth of the West, were convinced that no amount of prosperity can give us happiness. And Prabhupada said, now they are ready to hear the Bhagavad Gita, because they have come to this conclusion. So he went to America, 1965, went to different places with little success. Then finally in 26 Second Avenue, Lower East Side, New York, Some people started regularly attending his lectures. And in July 1966, Prabhupada incorporated the International Society for Krishna Consciousness legally. And it was not announced earlier. So after the class, some of the people who were attending the lecture, they were told and signed the deed. Most of them weren't even committed. But Prabhupada was starting the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. There was only one center, 26 Second Avenue storefront. Small place where a few dozen people could fit. And Prabhupada was starting ISKCON. And the people who were signing felt that for tax exemption or maybe to get some donation from the government, Swamiji is legalizing this society. Otherwise, the society's name made no sense. International Society. Prabhupada had only one storefront. That was international for him. But even though Prabhupada was in 26 Second Avenue, his vision soared to the end of the millennium. He could see how Krishna consciousness, the seeds of which he had sown in 26 Second Avenue, the tree would grow and the branches would be all over the world. July 1966, ISKCON started. And by December 1966, Prabhupada had some committed followers who were donating their salary, who were following principles, who were chanting Hare Krishna. There were 19 initiated disciples by December 1966. And Prabhupada was showing them, training them in the way of spiritual life. And they were accepting it readily. People from Western background who had never heard the name of Krishna before, they were following the principles of spirituality. Taking a bath after going to toilet. Nowadays even Indians don't know that this has to be done. That to maintain cleanliness, one has to take a bath after going to a toilet. They don't know. But these Westerners, who used to take one bath in a few months, they started taking bath every day. Sometimes twice a day, thrice a day. Miracle was happening. Meanwhile, one of the initiated disciples, Mukunda, was in San Francisco. And he mailed Prabhupada in New York. And he said that, Swamiji, come to San Francisco. We are going to conduct a mantra rock dance. And there are many people, many hippies here who are all hungry for spirituality. You please come here. And Prabhupada decided, I want to go to San Francisco. And the first center, New York, the devotees start thinking. They never thought that their society would ever go outside Lower East Side. What to speak of New York City. And they felt, how will our spirituality continue without Prabhupada, whom they called Swamiji at that time. But Prabhupada, he was not just concerned with the people of New York or the people of Lower East Side. Krishna consciousness was for everybody, irrespective of city, country or nation. He went to San Francisco. He stayed there and again miracles were happening. So many hippies, they were coming. They were taking to the process of spirituality, becoming purified, chanting Hare Krishna. Miracles were happening. Now, actually Prabhupada was performing miracles. Now, some magicians, they perform such sudden miracles, you know. They bring out a rabbit from somewhere, or they create a coin. Which is nothing but manipulation on a material level. Manipulating gross matter, which can be seen and touched. They are manipulating that. That is what magicians do. Some magic tricks. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki. But there are yogis who can manipulate people's thoughts. Mind, can read people's minds. And they have the power to manipulate subtle matter, mind, intelligence. It cannot be seen through the gross senses. But they can manipulate that. But subtler than gross and subtle matter is the spiritual spark, the soul. And the characteristic of the soul is desire. And Prabhupada did the miracle at the subtlemost platform by transforming the desires of these people. Now their desires had completely transformed. The goal of their life was to attain Krishna, to reunite, to re-establish their relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada was making the topmost miracle, performing the topmost miracle. But then in May 1967, Prabhupada had a mild heart attack. So, to recuperate, he had to go to come back to India. And he went back from India, again to the West, in December 1967. December 1967, there were two centers, New York, San Francisco. But Krishna consciousness was for everybody, not just people of New York or San Francisco. But now Prabhupada felt that he had very less time. Why? Because he had a heart attack. He took it as a warning. So Prabhupada started dispatching his disciples and told them to go to different places and start Krishna consciousness there. He used to send his disciples to start a center, and then he himself used to go to that center to encourage them, give lectures, and establish Krishna consciousness firmly in that particular place. So Prabhupada started traveling widely after December 1967, and by August 1967, that is within a span of 8 months, there were 6 centers all over North America. So in North America, there were 6 centers, and Krishna consciousness was quite well established. There was one in Montreal, Canada also. But now Prabhupada started thinking about another continent, that is Europe. Krishna consciousness wasn't just for the people of North America. It was for people of Europe also. So in August 1968, he sent 6 of his disciples to take over Europe. And there were 3 couples. And Prabhupada had faith in them. And he told them that if you have pure motivations, Krishna will help you. And spirituality is for everyone. Even the people of Europe and London will embrace Krishna consciousness. No problem. So he sent 6 disciples to another continent, Europe, London. And he himself continued traveling all over America. In April of... By April of 1969, Prabhupada was in New York. And Prabhupada was seeing a globe. And on the globe, there were markers of different centers of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Brahmananda Prabhu, one of the disciples of Prabhupada, put one more marker and he said, "Prabhupada, now there is one more center in New Carolina." So Prabhupada smiled and he said, "Now we are 15. So August 68, 6 centers. And now we are in April 1969 and there are 15 centers. And Prabhupada looked at each of his disciples and he said, "All of you should go to different places, take one mridang and start chanting Hare Krishna. Someone else will come, he'll play kartal, and a center will start." And he himself started traveling also. There was less time, and Krishna consciousness had to be spread all over the place. September 1969, Prabhupada visited London. And December 1969, he established the temple in London. And by December 1969, the number of centers in the world was 21 temples all over the world. So now, all over Europe there are centers, all over America, North America there are centers. December 69, Prabhupada establishes the temple in London, and now he's thinking about Japan in the Far East. Krishna consciousness is not just for Americans and Europeans. It is for Japanese also. So he sends three disciples there. Balimardhan Prabhu, Burijan Prabhu and Sudama Prabhu. And meanwhile he is traveling. Now Europe and America both. And by May 1970, there are 26 centers all over the world. And in July, he himself goes to Japan. July of 1970. He himself goes to Japan. Now what happened? Now, Srila Prabhupada was trying to spread Krishna consciousness at all places. Krishna consciousness wasn't sectarian. It was for everybody. Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita in between the two armies. It is for everybody. So Prabhupada was enthusiastic about spreading Krishna consciousness. And he used his disciples as his instruments to spread Krishna consciousness also. So Balimardhan, they were also enthusiastic. His disciples were also enthusiastic. Now Balimardhan, he was sent to Japan. He went to Japan. He started a center there. Placed someone in Japan. Went back to Australia. He went to Australia, started a center there. Came back to Japan. And wrote a letter to Prabhupada. So now there is a center in Japan also, Australia also. One more continent covered. And meanwhile Prabhupada is traveling through Japan. And wherever Prabhupada went, just like Krishna, he directly told Arjuna that you are a fool. You don't know what to be is to be put in the center. Actually, we are not the body, we are the soul. Ashochyananna shochastvam pragya vadam shabhasase. You are lamenting for that which is not worthy of lamenting. Understand what is truly your value in life. That was Krishna's message to Arjuna right from the beginning. And Prabhupada, following the same footsteps, wherever he went, any part of the world, same message. Who is to be put in the center? What is of real relevance in life? In America, when he first came, when he was speaking to people who are addicted to intoxicants, he said, intoxicants cannot keep you high forever. Only Krishna consciousness can keep you high forever. High means to be happy. That was their language. So Prabhupada said, in order to be high forever, you have to take to Krishna consciousness. Understand that you are not the body, you are the soul. Then when he went to Europe, the reporters asked him, why have you come to Europe? Same message Prabhupada said. To remind you what you have forgotten. You have forgotten that God is to be put in the center of your life. Then only you will be happy. And now he is traveling through Japan. And in Japan, in a company, he visits the Dai Nippon Publishing Company to publish his books. And there is a junior executive of that company. And Prabhupada asks him, what is the goal of your life? So what he does, he places all the visiting cards of all the employees of his company. Main top officials of his company, stacks them in ascending order. At the bottom is the lowest grade and top is the president. In this way he stacks all the cards one over the other. Then he takes his card and places it on top, signifying that this is the goal of my life, to become president of the company. Prabhupada smiled just like Krishna is smiling. And he said, to become president is temporary. That won't give you happiness. And he preached the message of the Bhagavad Gita again. Only when you understand you are not the body, you are the soul, and understand the goal of life, can you be truly happy. Same message. And after Japan, Prabhupada came to India. And India, he was traveling to different places. Other parts of the world, Prabhupada sent other disciples. But in India, he was personally traveling to different places. Someone who was in his 70s was traveling so rapidly. inspiring his followers to also take adventures, and himself sacrificing his health and going to great extents to spread Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness is for everybody. So while Prabhupada is in India, Balimardhan, who is in Japan, writes a letter to Prabhupada saying that, now I am in Japan. Japan there is a center, Australia there is a center. And Prabhupada writes to him, now you should go to, very good, now you should go to Singapore and Hong Kong also. That is also English speaking. That will complete our circle around the globe. And Balimardhan, he goes to Singapore and he writes back to Prabhupada saying that, now I am in Singapore, but I need someone here because I have to go back to Japan now. Meanwhile, Prabhupada is in Allahabad, India, 1970. He gets a letter and is giving a class. At the end of the class, Prabhupada asks, so who will go to Singapore for preaching? There is silence. Now they had come, everybody had come from different parts of the world to take the personal association of Prabhupada to have a nice time. And Singapore, there is no center. Nothing is going on. All that is happening is one particular devotee is telling that someone can come here to help me. Now who is ready to go? Silence. Finally, one devotee raises his hand. Devotee named Gopal Das from America. Within few seconds, another devotee also raises his hand. Hanuman Das. Prabhupada said, okay. And this devotee was thinking that Prabhupada will tell me to go after a few weeks. But Prabhupada told him, so are you ready to go today? Said, yes, Prabhupada. And immediately dispatched to Singapore. In this way, Prabhupada was traveling in India personally, spreading Krishna consciousness. Meanwhile, Krishna consciousness was spreading all over the world also. When Prabhupada was in Bombay, Brahmananda Prabhu came. Now, Brahmananda Prabhu was sent by Prabhupada to Pakistan to preach. In Pakistan, he met severe opposition. People used to come and remove his tilak on the face. And they used to spit on his face, speak bad words and threaten him that if you don't leave, then we'll kill you. Meanwhile, Prabhupada got the message that there is a war. There is a war between India and Pakistan. So Prabhupada was concerned that what happened to Brahmananda Prabhu. So somehow Brahmananda Prabhu came to Bombay and he was with Prabhupada for a few days, and Prabhupada told Brahmananda Prabhu, so now you go to Africa. That is the last continent that is left. If you go to Africa, all continents will be covered. And the next year, Prabhupada also went to Africa, East Africa, Nairobi, Kenya. And the reporters asked him, why have you come here? Same question. And then they told Prabhupada, that especially in East Africa, Kenya, there is no apartheid. People are living like brothers. So will your Krishna consciousness teach all sections of society? Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness should be taught to all sections of society, then only your brotherhood will last. Same message Prabhupada was giving in Africa also. Now these disciples, it wasn't so easy to spread Krishna consciousness. But they are willing to take all risks to please Srila Prabhupada and for spreading Krishna consciousness. Why? Because Krishna consciousness was for all people. Everyone has to be given a chance. For example, in South Africa, especially apartheid was very, very prevalent at that time. Still devotees are preaching there. Apartheid means racial discrimination. Someone is white, someone is black. And Krishna conscious philosophy goes headlong against it. And we say it's all external. Everybody is a soul, part and parcel of God. So, of course, our Krishna consciousness is anti-racist. So, some devotees, American devotees are preaching in South Africa, and America is a powerful country. Prabhupada utilized that factor, American factor, in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. So, one of the devotees, Riddhadas, he was traveling along with his parents, who are also devotees, from one part of the country to another in South Africa, and he stopped at Johannesburg to renew his visa. When he went to renew his visa in South Africa, he was sent to the 11th floor, where he had to meet another officer. Now, this 11th floor was very popular as a place from where many people who are against racism mysteriously committed suicide. That was very popular for that. So he went on the 11th floor, and the officer there said, "Now either you leave the country or else," and he showed a window from the 11th floor. "This is the place from where everybody disappears." So Riddha Prabhu, he went to that window, looked down. His parents were standing there, and his mother was a lawyer. And he called the officer along, "Please come here, just look down." And the officer came and looked down. So he said that if something happens to me, if you play smart, act smart with me, they will see to it that your life and the entire nation of South Africa will be made miserable by the American government. So hearing that, he fell silent and he didn't do anything, and he was relieved. Just to show how much these disciples of Srila Prabhupada were literally risking their life for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. And Prabhupada himself, in spite of his advanced age, was traveling just so that Krishna consciousness, everyone could embrace it. And wherever he went, wherever Krishna consciousness was established, the same message of Krishna consciousness. That understand what is the center. The center is not any center should not be our own selfish interest. The center of our life should be God. And the goal of life is to re-establish our relationship with Krishna. Then only we can be happy. Or else we'll be like fools lamenting for that which is not worthy of lamentation. Now coming back to our verse, after speaking this, Krishna, in the next verse he says, "Ne'er was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be." So Krishna says, I existed in the past, I exist in the present, I exist in the future. All these kings, they existed in the past, they exist now, they'll exist in the future. And you, Arjuna, you also existed in the past, you are existing now, and you will exist in the future. So Krishna is refuting the Mayavad philosophy in this particular verse. Mayavad is a philosophy which tells that after liberation, right now we are all different, we are all individuals, but after we follow a spiritual process, we attain liberation. And after liberation, we lose our individuality and we become one with the Supreme. We become God from that point of view. We become one with God. There won't be any difference between us and God. This is Mayavad philosophy. And Krishna is clearly refuting it here in this particular verse. Krishna is telling that even in the future, I will remain to exist. And Arjuna, even you will remain to exist. Even after hearing the Bhagavad Gita, even after your liberation. What does that mean? That liberation doesn't put an end to individuality. After liberation, real life starts off serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead in love and devotion. So Krishna clearly refutes the Mayavada philosophy. And all of our acharyas also, they were heavy against this particular philosophy of monism. And Srila Prabhupada in particular was very heavy. That Krishna is a supreme God and is worshipable at all stages. Never will there be a time when we will become one with God. Not possible. We are eternally the servants of the Lord. And Prabhupada, he not only established ISKCON all over the world, but wherever he went, he also defeated this Mayavad philosophy which was everywhere, from east to west. In the west, initially, and Prabhupada didn't have his own edition of the Bhagavad Gita yet published. He used to take a Bhagavad Gita of other authors. So one day, while he was giving the class, he was reading the last verse of the 9th chapter. Man manabho madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. And after reading that verse, suddenly devotees could see that Prabhupada is becoming angry. And then Prabhupada said, the translation is okay, but the commentator is telling that ultimately we have to think about something within Krishna, not the person Krishna. And Prabhupada said, it is clearly written here. Man mana bhava madbhakto. Always think of me. Very clearly stated. So Prabhupada's anger against Mayavad philosophy was not at an intellectual level. He was not against Mayavad simply considering it to be a rival philosophy. For him, refutation of Mayavad meant saving people from a wrong philosophy. He was a completely self-realized soul. He knew what is the goal of life and what is truly beneficial for all beings. And when he saw that a wrong philosophy was influencing people, out of concern for everybody, he was angry. And also out of love for the Supreme Lord, he was angry. Because the Mayavadis say, Krishna is formless. Ultimately, Krishna is formless. Ultimately, God is formless, they say. And for a devotee of the Lord, he is attached to the Supreme Lord as a father. So if someone says, your father is formless, one will become angry. So for a devotee, he becomes angry out of love for Krishna when he hears the Mayavad philosophy. So Prabhupada was heavy against Mayavad while he was at New York. And even when he was in Japan, Kobe, one Mr. Mahesh, he invited Prabhupada for a lecture. His basic idea was, there was a Hindu, all Hindus of Japan, they had a gathering. So he wanted to invite Prabhupada because Prabhupada was quite popular as the head of the ISKCON society. But he had also invited one more Mayavad's guru, Kaivalya Swami. So the program was arranged. It was evening time. Around 150 Hindu families had assembled, the largest gathering, because Prabhupada was coming. And Swami Kaivalya was already there. So disciples of Prabhupada came there. And Mahesh had told disciples of Prabhupada, because at that particular point of time, devotees were staying at an apartment given by Mr. Mahesh. Mr. Mahesh had donated an apartment for devotees to establish a center in Japan. He had not committed, but he was allowing devotees to stay. So he had some contact with devotees. So prior to the program, Mr. Mahesh had told the devotees that get two garlands. One for Prabhupada and one for Mr. Kaivalya Swami. So Bhurijan Prabhu, one of the disciples of Prabhupada, he came with two garlands. He was preaching along with Sudama Prabhu at that time. So when they arrived, Bhrujan Prabhu had two garlands. So Sudama Prabhu asked Bhrujan Prabhu that you didn't have money for two garlands. How come you brought two garlands? So Bhrujan Prabhu said, I have bought only one garland, but the other garland which I have brought for Kaivalya Swami is Prabhupada's garland which he wore yesterday. So Kaivalya Swami will be tremendously benefited by wearing Prabhupada's Maha garland. So I have brought Maha garland for Kaivalya Swami. And Kaivalya Swami didn't know English. He was to speak in Hindi. So Mr. Mahesh, he had two armchairs, foldable chairs there. And he said that on one Prabhupada will sit, another Kaivalya Swami will sit, and they will both give lecture. Bhrujan Prabhu said, no, Prabhupada is Guru. When he is speaking, he has to sit on Vyasasana. So there has to be a big seat, which is Vyasasana. So they brought a big seat, and Prabhupada arrived by that time. And Mr. Mahesh said that, let Kaivalya Swami speak first. Bhrujan Prabhu said, no, so many people have come to hear Srila Prabhupada speak. So Srila Prabhupada has to speak first. So Prabhupada went, he sat, and he started speaking verses from Bhagavad Gita, refuting Mayavad philosophy, one after another, crushing Mayavad philosophy. And his lecture ended. So honoring Srila Prabhupada, as a gesture of affection, Mr. Mahesh went forward and held his hand so that Prabhupada could hold his hand and get down from the Vyasasana. But Prabhupada completely ignored Mr. Mahesh. Mahesh said, please Swamiji, please give me your hand so that you can get down. And Prabhupada was looking in another direction. Prabhupada wouldn't get down from the Vyasasana because he knew if he got down, Mayavadi will sit on his Vyasasana. So Mahesh, he thought that let Mr. Kaivalya Swami speak on the chair only. And Kaivalya Swami, theek hai, he said. And he starts speaking on the chair. Time passed. Few minutes had passed. And the Western disciples couldn't understand what he's speaking at all. And they started talking with each other because they couldn't understand what the lecture was. One said, it looks like he has been speaking since hours. And as I said, it is only few minutes. It looks like hours because you don't understand what he's speaking. But what is Prabhupada doing? He seems to understand. So Prabhupada was looking here and there. And suddenly, Prabhupada started looking at his disciples. Staring at his disciples. And disciples didn't know what to make out of it. Prabhupada was normal so far. And suddenly he's looking at his disciples. Staring at his disciples. Gravely. As if something is happening. Suddenly, in the middle of Swami Kaivalya's lecture, Prabhupada shouted, stop him! And all the Indian audience and all the disciples also didn't know what was happening. Then Prabhupada said, stop him immediately! Start Kirtan! And Bhrujan Prabhu didn't know what to do. Suddenly he took the kartal and started fingering the kartals. And they started the kirtan, loud kirtan. The Indians were confused. Mr. Mahesh totally confused. And even the devotees didn't know what was happening. They all returned to their apartment, which was also given by Mr. Mahesh himself. So the disciples came. Prabhupada was also there. And Prabhupada asked, how was the program? How many books went? Normal. And then Mr. Mahesh also came there. And he said, Prabhupada, what happened? Prabhupada said he was speaking Mayavad philosophy. So I stopped him. Mahesh said, Hinduism means so many philosophies are there. We should be open-minded. Prabhupada said, absolute truth means one. Now, Prabhupada's logic was simple. If you take a ticket to Delhi, will you go to Calcutta? No. Now, similarly, it's not that all philosophy leads to the same goal. No. That is the biggest problem. which has ruined Indian culture and Indian spirituality. People feel that anything is okay. Spirituality is a science. It has to be approached as a science. Now if you ask a scientist whether this metal is iron or gold, he won't say maybe iron, maybe gold. No. Science means definite. So it is wrong to say that any philosophy is okay. No. Spirituality is a science. It's a systematic science. So Prabhupada said, not everything is okay. He was not speaking the truth. So I had to stop him. So Mr. Mahesh, he said, maybe this apartment is not suitable for ISKCON. And he left. And Prabhupada said, Krishna will provide us some other place. Anyway, this person was too attached to this apartment. And because he's too attached, he'll be born as a rat in the same apartment. And Krishna will provide us some other apartment for continuing our Krishna consciousness. Then Burijan Prabhu asked this question to Prabhupada. Initially you were sitting okay, then suddenly what happened? Prabhupada said, initially this person in Hindi, he was going on speaking about Panchopasana, worshipping five kinds of deities which the Mayavadis do. But finally, he said, ultimately through this worship, one should go beyond and understand the formless God beyond. And Prabhupada said, that I couldn't tolerate. I couldn't tolerate that blasphemy. And indicated his hand. My spiritual master adopted the same chopping technique. And I am following in his footsteps. Chopping technique. I couldn't tolerate this blasphemy. So a pure devotee's refutation of the Mayavad philosophy is not on an intellectual platform. It is motivated by love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we see that Bhagavad Gita nowhere supports that any path is okay. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking a definite science. And now he is giving the science of the soul. And here he is establishing the science that every individual soul is different. And later on we'll see that Krishna is telling that every individual soul is connected to one supreme soul, and the relationship between each individual soul and the supreme soul has to be re-established. Jivera Swarupave Krishnera Nityadas. Every soul is eternally the part and parcel and the servitor of the supreme soul, that is Krishna. And ultimately Krishna says in the Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshishyami Masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. So that is the position of the soul, and he can be happy only by surrendering in love to the Supreme Lord Krishna. Only that can give him happiness. So this is the science established by Bhagavad Gita. So if you have to follow Bhagavad Gita, then we should follow what Krishna is telling in the Bhagavad Gita. Anything is not okay. What Krishna is telling, only that is okay. So Prabhupada's commentary in the Bhagavad Gita, he is simply repeating what Krishna is telling. So it is Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's a science. Many times people feel anything is okay in spirituality. But then, if we want to get tangible results on the path of spirituality, if we want to attain success, we should follow the systematic science. As Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita. And then we'll attain perfection. We should get over this misconception that Hinduism is about many paths. Hinduism is not about many paths. It is not vague. It is specific. It is precise. It is perfect. So we'll see in future classes how Krishna gives no more knowledge about what the soul is. And in this way, Bhagavad Gita continues. Any one question at this point of time? Okay. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.